Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all last week? Oh, we had a fantastic week over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. As we started with our Deep Time crew, and we talked about things that married people say that they miss about being single. Now, I understand we are married and things like that, but, you know, you listen, you're human, and there's certain things that are going to cross your mind when you think about the changes that take place while you're married. That's different than when you were single. And one of the things, you're eating what you want for dinner. You know, you want to just pull out those Doritos. You don't care much about dinner. You're tired. You've been at a long day of work. Oh, you got your workout one way or the other. You done ran some errands, and all you want to do is just drop. But you gotta go home and cook. Or you gotta go shopping for the dinner. Or you gotta order out. Now, all of that takes time and energy and some thought process. And, you know, not all the time are we up to, you know, wanting to do that. Well, we also talked about things staying where you left them. Now, we all go through this, whether you are an empty nester and you got your kids coming over or your grandchildren coming over and things aren't where they used to be. Yeah, you know, you put your, you know, your coffee mug, you know, on this side of the, you know, bed, and now it's on the other side of the bed because it got moved because there's a better place for it. Yeah. You know, you got to go through all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that conversation just got started. And we're going to continue that today. So if you can think of some things that, you know, just a little different that you've been for when you were single, man, be sure to contact us and let us know. Let's see if it ends up on our list, okay? All right, well, we could not finish a Monday morning without our quick tip. Well, last week's quick tip was remember, be different. Yes, you know, we are those peculiar people of God. And I'm telling you, the norm is so dysfunctional out here that we, man, we are definitely going to look different if we should decide to do what the world is doing. But have no fear. Have no fear. You know, as long as you're on the Lord's side, as long as you're making sure that you're doing what the Word of God tells us to do, it don't matter how different you might be, you're on the right track. Because remember, they say, broad the road that many should find and travel that will lead to destruction. But narrow the road that only few will find that will lead to eternal life. Ah, how you like them odds. Man, right there, you should get a huge incentive to just simply be different. All righty? All righty. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day rolled around. And all with all the havoc, remember, be different. With all of the craziness going down, you know, in this world, you know, as after we got finished talking about, you know, the gunman who shot everybody in the supermarket, the gunman who pulled his gun on innocent people too, in the hair salon, and the innocent people who, you know, were attacked and someone lost their life as the gunman went up in the church with his guns and Molotov cocktails. Why is there so much hate in this world? Because we just can't blame no enemy. No. God didn't already said it's our own flesh and spirit that ultimately does the talking and the action. Yes, we can only be influenced by the enemy, but he does not make us do it. So we really got to talking about all of this, you know, hatred in the world and all this craziness people are going through. Like, what is happening in this world? Okay. Well, wow, when they rolled around and we talked about what we heard from Mrs. Vivian, who brought us our socially conscious segment, and we heard about the daycare workers who had given the children over 10 times the normal level of melatonin to keep them asleep so that I guess they wouldn't be children. Yeah. I mean, talk about taking the easy way out. Are you serious? Oh, my goodness gracious. What's the matter with people? You know, it seems to be some real craziness going on now, and you know, we really gotta pay attention to all the stuff that's going on, you know, in this world. And it's really, really scary that all of this is going on and we don't have a handle on what's going on in this world. We really, really don't have a handle on what's going on in this world, where we are taking jobs and we are really, you know, we're really trying to find excuses. We're really trying to find excuses as to what to do with these children. Well, didn't you take the job because you wanted to make a difference in these children's lives? I don't understand. I don't get it. How in the world are you taking people's children and you're giving them this type of you're giving them this sleeping medicine. You don't know if one of these children will die. You don't know how much. You're talking about 10 times that could have easily taken any one of those children out of here. So we're going to give God thanks for, you know, just watching over our children, because it is just a bit much. It's just a bit much. Well, the ladies were in the house, and we talked about what to do when you get to the end of your rope. Well, is this not appropriate for what we got in the morning segment? All right. Well, take a deep breath and calm yourself down. Yeah, don't give the children melatonin. You take a deep breath and calm yourself down. Get yourself together. Okay? It's you. You got to do what needs to be done. All right? Oh, play with your children. Play and spend some one-on-one time with your kids. You know, it gives you an appreciation for who they are. It allows you to see who they are. And you find that you'll enjoy your children more as you get to know them. Yeah, when you spend that one-on-one time, yeah, you really get to know who you're dealing with. Well, at the end of the day, we're going to say pray, pray, and then go pray again. Yes, because we know that prayer changes things, right? All right. So let's take what the ladies have to say and run with it. Well, Pastor Charlotte was not with us on Wednesday, so unfortunately we did not get our Faith Over Fear segment. But we still had a phenomenal day, even as we missed her. Okay? Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and oh my goodness, we had ripped from the headlines. Woo! When I tell you we laughed, we laughed. Oh, we talked about how the sister was so tired of being a slave to her brother and always being forced to help him out with cooking, and he always asked and demanded that she help him out. Oh, she started to alter the food. Yeah. No, she didn't put no poison in there. No, she was good. She just put items in the dishes that he didn't like. So when you want me to make those brownies and I ask you to help me and you don't want to help, it's okay. I'll just put some nuts up in there. Now, I happen to love nuts. Now, if you don't like nuts, then I don't know what to tell you, because you should have been helping me so you could remind me that you don't like nuts. So please don't put it up in there, up in there. Well, what about the fingers? Yes. Oh, the young man who started a brand new job, and he only has three fingers on one of his hands. And everybody in the office got to asking him, hey, what happened to your hand? What happened to your fingers? Well, everybody got a different story. And as they rallied to discuss what happened to his fingers, boy, did they get a surprise when they found out that nobody got the same story. Oh, see, that's just a gift for not minding your business. You should have been minding your business. Well, Friday rolled around, Freestyle Friday rolled around, and it was another slam dunk. And we talked about the empty nesters who resent their adults. Boomerang kids and all that happens when they return home, and all the things that could happen when they return home. And but I tell you, between Brother Al and Pastor KL, we were hollering over here. Oh, we had such a good time when Brother Al started talking about what was going on in his house with his son when he returned as a young adult. And how we got to wondering, well, who raised you? And Pastor KF, not only do the adult children boomerang back home, but now the potential of them bringing them grandkids up in the house, oh my goodness, where were you on Friday? Because whoa boy, did they send us into a fantastic weekend. Well, last night we had the Word Prayer Project, and what happened? We were praying for the schools, the teachers, the students, and subsequently the parents. Yes. And it was a fantastic list of prayer requests that came through from my prayer partners. And I thank you all for participating and joining me. And oh my goodness gracious, we had a fantastic prayer night last night. Got our week started. We had so much to talk about with those schools, teachers, students, and parents. Oh, so much to pray about. Make sure you join us for prayer next week, Sunday, God's Spirit, at 9 o'clock p.m. for the Word Prayer Project. We don't know what God is going to put out there for us to pray about, but we know it's going to be a good thing. So, today is a Monday, and we're shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. Can you believe it? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you got an opportunity to run and go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend that it's due time with Pastor Stephen Owens. We're about to start another fantastic week, and make sure you go nowhere, because we will be right back.
According to South Korea's Ministry of Health, more than 600 cases of hepatitis A have been reported, mainly in Gyeonggi Province and the cities of Seoul and Daejeon. The exact source of transmission is under investigation. Strict hygiene and food precautions are advised for travel to risk areas. The best way to prevent getting the infection is to receive the hepatitis A vaccine. These vaccinations are recommended for those who live in South Korea, as well as travelers going to South Korea and family members being stationed in South Korea. All service members receive the hepatitis A vaccine as part of routine vaccinations. Symptoms of hepatitis A include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, fatigue, abdominal pain, yellow skin or eyes, and dark urine or clay stools. The best way to prevent hepatitis A infection is to get vaccinated. If you have questions about exposure, schedule an appointment with your healthcare provider.
Good morning and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes, we are. God has brought us safely through another weekend. And already we are gathered together again so that we can share in the beginning of the week and get us started off on the right foot. How are you? I'm doing well, thank you. Oh, come on, get them pens out. I got some information for you. All righty. Well, this morning, we're talking about those feet. Yep, that foot pain. Have your feet been bothering you lately? All right, well, we got some reasons you should not ignore that foot pain, because pain in your feet can point to a number of health problems. Okay, number one, stress fracture. Okay, they say that older adults are particularly vulnerable to stress fractures or tiny cracks in the bone. Okay, because that bone thins out with age. Okay, and they say the most common symptom is pain with activity, but it subsides with rest. Okay, they say it's important to realize that the symptoms of a stress fracture is more subtle than those you'd experience with like other, you know, problems like a broken bone. A lot of times they say people don't even realize that they have one. They say there's no swelling or bruising and things like that, but the pain is there. And if it lasts for more than a few days and it doesn't seem to get better with ice and rest, make sure you see your doctor, okay? And they say most times treatment is rest for 6 to 8 weeks, and you may have to get a special shoe insert or braces to help the injury heal. All righty. Persistent heel pain. Okay. They say that's a common condition where the plantar fascia, that's the thin ligament on the bottom of your foot that connects your heel to the front of your foot, becomes irritated and inflamed. It often resolves on its own with icing and rest. But they say if it's torn, it won't get better by itself. Okay? An x-ray can reveal the problem, like osteoarthritis or a stress fracture. And they say first-line treatment is usually a short leg boot cast combined with crutches. And if that doesn't work, you just might need surgery. Okay. All right, number three. Psoriatic arthritis. They say foot pain can be a common symptom of psoriatic arthritis, an inflammatory disease that causes pain and swelling in the joints. Okay. Most people with psoriatic arthritis also already have psoriasis, which is a skin condition that usually causes red, scaly, inflamed skin. And they say you may notice that one or more toes are so swollen that they look like little sausages. And they say other signs include heel pain, bottom of the foot pain, and thick pitted toenails. They say if you have a lot of pain in the morning and it's focused on one side of your body, your right ankle or your right toes or your right foot, it may be a sign of psoriatic arthritis. Okay. Oh. We're talking about the reason for your foot pain and what, you know, health conditions it may indicate. Well, number four is diabetes. Yep, diabetes. Okay. They say people with diabetes develop neuropathy or nerve damage, a condition that leads to tingling, burning, or stinging pain, and even foot numbness or weakness. They say, but neuropathy can have other causes ranging from alcohol overuse to undiagnosed infections such as Lyme disease or even cancer. So you need to get your feet checked out. They say you have to monitor your feet carefully. Check them every day for cuts, redness, or swelling, and never go barefoot, not even inside. They say if you see corns or calluses, have a podiatrist remove them rather than trying to remove them yourself, and keep your toenails trimmed. And if it's too much for you to do, there's a podiatrist to get that job done. Now, let me tell you something. When you have diabetes, they tell you to make sure your feet are well, just like I read, well monitored. You have to make sure you take care of your feet. You notice a lot of people lose their legs. Well, a lot of times that starts from their feet. Something went wrong with their foot. So we want to make sure that if you are a diabetic, that you don't walk around without anything on your feet. Make sure you have like socks or slippers. You know, there's so many different comfortable slippers and things like that. So please do not, you know. And don't go get your nails done at the salon. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. All righty. You know, get someone who loves you to take care of your feet. Okay? All right. Number five, gout. Gout is a form of inflammatory arthritis where high levels of a substance known as urate build up in your body, leading to joint pain and swelling, and it often begins in your big toe. But it can be misdiagnosed and overlooked, okay? And they say if the pain is so severe that it keeps you up at night, there's a good chance you have gout. Ask your doctor to, you know, do some blood work. If they don't, you know, automatically decide to do it on their own, so you ask for it. They say most of the time, gout can be treated either by your primary care provider or a rheumatologist. And there are certain medicines that help treat gout pain. Okay? So they say lifestyle measures like losing weight and following a specific eating plan, which is rich in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and low-fat dairy can also help you to lower your blood urate levels. And I hear that gout is a monster. Yeah. They said, like, you can't even let a sheep touch your toe. It's so painful and so sensitive. All right. And number six, blood clot. Okay. They say when you think of deep vein thrombosis, you may automatically think of a leg swelling and the leg pain, but this condition where a blood clot forms in one of the body's deep veins can also cause sudden and severe pain in the ankle or the foot. Okay? They say you're more at risk if you're a smoker, overweight, or over the age of 60. Particularly if you're sedentary. So that means you're kind of sitting still. You don't do a whole lot of moving. They say if you notice leg or foot swelling and pain that doesn't seem to have a cause, see your doctor right away, especially if the area feels warm to the touch and if it's discolored. They say these blood clots can break off and travel to the lung or the brain, where they cause a fatal pulmonary embolism, and we've heard of things like that happening. So we definitely don't want to get caught up and not pay attention to that. Okay? So let's make sure we're taking care of those foot. All righty. So what news are we talking about today? Okay. Well, you know, I often talk about my domestic abuse and violence. situation as a teen, and we have a teen on life support. After the ex-boyfriend's murder-suicide attempt. So you have this couple who broke up, and the next day the police were asked to perform a welfare check on the young lady and come to find out that she had been shot by the ex-boyfriend. Oh, he was an ex, like, even for just a day. And they say that they found the 17-year-old girl shot in the front seat of a car at around 3:30 p.m. And her ex-boyfriend was also shot and was pronounced dead at the scene. All right. So they say that he shot himself after shooting the young lady. She was airlifted to a nearby hospital and is currently on life support, and they are, the family, they are preparing to donate her organs. And, you know, we're, you know, I'm bringing this up because, again, you know, watch your teenagers, because you don't only have to watch your teenage daughters, do you? Nope. You got this, you know, let me tell you something. These boys show some type of indication to their family that they got this, that they got these possessive problems. Yeah, I'm not buying that. There's nothing they ever do to indicate that, you know, they got issues like this. Because they talking to mama a certain way. They're talking to their sister or a cousin or a supposed friend a certain way. Yeah, you're not just busting up out of nowhere and showing that you're unstable enough to shoot. This is the next day. The next day. We're not talking about, oh, you know, they broke up and he realized he couldn't live without her for a week. The next day, they just broke up the day before, and then y'all found her shot in a car and him dead. Yeah, he didn't show some signs that there was some, you know, unstable, you know, tendencies, or there was some anger issues, or, you know, how many times did he kick the dog? You know, really, you know, we got to think about this stuff here. What's going on that, you know, your children are showing signs either that they are being abused or abusive? One of the two. Because we're not only talking to the parents of daughters, you know, and of some sons, you know, because girls are just wicked. At times too. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, the abusive children as well. Remember, we talked about these bullies, these parents with these bullying children. You know, we had this incident that we talked about last week, and the mom of the child who was being bullied and the child who was being bullied, who was doing the bullying. Everybody talking about, oh, I wouldn't call that bullying. Well, I need to know, what do you constitute as bullying? When you're pushy, when you are going to tell people what they're going to do? I don't understand. And again, here you got the mother of the child who's being bullied. I wouldn't use bullying because that's a strong word. You got the bully's mama talking about she's not going to use the word bully because that's a strong word. Okay, so when these kids get to be about 13, I want to see what they look like then. Are you going to be a pushover because you never understood what bullying was? Or are you going to be the one who's now shooting up the school because nobody's paying attention to the fact that you were a bully when you were seven? This is what I'm talking about. What did he do that could have indicated that he was troubled like that? So now she's not here in a matter of once they start to remove her organs, and he's not here from the time y'all found her. So somebody ain't paying attention. You know, we cannot downplay these things. You can't downplay these things. I told you, I was going through it right underneath my mother's nose. Not right underneath her nose. And let me tell you something. Don't think that you can't mask this stuff. Man, you already got the excuses. You already got the explanations. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was there. And let me tell you something. That keeps you alert. That really keeps you alert. So, you know, pay attention. Pay attention to the things that's going on because our children are suffering in silence. Okay? All righty. What else are we talking about? All right, here we go again, y'all. Where we got a mom who needed to run some errands. So the toddler was left home alone. Okay? So they say this barefoot little boy was found outside wet and crying around 9:30 at night by a neighbor who ended up calling the authorities. And come to find out that the mom had gone to Petco. Listen, y'all. Petco, which was closed before stopping at a gas station. Now, you couldn't have gotten a child dressed, whatever this dog needed or the cat needed, couldn't wait. You had to go to Petco. So they said she was arrested after telling the police that she left the toddler because he was fine watching TV and she thought her husband was on the way home. However, the husband, who they say immediately drove home after being contacted by the authorities, said that he was supposed to be at work all night. Okay? So somebody lied, and it's probably mama. Because why would why would they be lying? Why would he lie? But listen, you left the toddler in front of the TV. Okay? They say that when the police arrived, they searched the home, which was occupied only by two dogs, and the mom eventually returned and asked, you know, what was going on and why were they there, and they said she was held on $1,500 bond and released after posting her bond, and she's charged with risk of injury to a minor. So I told y'all. You know, these people are losing it. You losing it to the fact that ain't no way in the world I'm going to be able to do this with this toddler tonight. Because you got to leave the home to go to Petco. Stop, y'all. Stop. Oh, my goodness gracious. So now we know it was dogs because they said that they found the two dogs in the house. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't understand. But I guarantee you one thing. Oh, this was a habit. If the husband works at night, oh, I guarantee you that homegirl had made this a practice. How would you know you could leave a kid in front of the TV? You leaving a toddler in front of the TV. You didn't even leave the toddler in the in a playpen. You didn't even leave the toddler in the playpen where you could, where he would or she would be limited. So she left the toddler in the home with the doors unlocked. Well, what kind of doorknobs y'all got that he could, or she could turn? You got a little hand that could turn the whole doorknob and let themselves out? Oh, my goodness gracious. The dumbest parents. But again, these parents are breaking down. They're losing it. They are literally losing it. Literally losing it. Okay. Oh, all right. So here we go again. Last night we prayed for the schools, teachers, students, and parents. And here we go. A mom in Boston is slamming her son's school. Guess why? Because, let me just tell you the story. Give you that part at the end. So, okay, so mom is at home, and mom is sick. Okay, mom is ill, and she's at home. She's not at work, she's at home. Her 17-year-old son is in school. She gets a call from the school, and they tell her that her son was ill, and she needs to come pick him up because he complained that he thought he was having a stroke. And they didn't believe him. So instead of calling 911, they called the mom to pick him up. And the mom says, listen, We have this in our family. We have a history of strokes in the family. And your eye may not be able to detect the stroke, but if he's telling you that that's what's happening, if he's telling you that he's weak on his left side, please, I'm begging you. Listen, these were her words. I'm pleading with all intensity that I could muster up with no voice. Please get my son to the hospital. So she had to really keep asking them to call 911 because she was sick at home. Are y'all ready? In a wheelchair. Oh, my gosh. So not only she's physically ill, but she's disabled. So they finally, after another half hour, decide to make this call to 911. And, yes, he had a stroke. And he was, he told his mom, he said, I can't even believe that they wouldn't believe me. No. That's because your name is, let me get it, DeAndre Hicks. That's why ain't nobody paying attention to the fact that you were having a stroke. That's why. So now you got the superintendent who's apologizing to the mom for what happened, and, she's, we're glad he's okay and recovered. Nah. Somebody going down. Somebody would be going down for this. I'm sorry. Somebody would be losing a job. So there would be some training. No. He's telling you, I'm not feeling well. I'm weak on my left side. I believe I'm having a stroke. Make the phone call. It's not costing you anything. What is it going to cost you to make the phone call? What is it going to cost you to call 911. No, instead you call the mother. You call 911 first, then you call the mother and you let her know that, listen, we just had to call the, you know, the paramedics to come get your child because he was or she was complaining that her left side or his left side was weak. And, you know, we don't want to take any chances. Possible, you know, stroke. We sent him to the hospital. We're letting you know that that's where to go. Not come here and pick him up. And then after she pled with them to make sure they called 911. Hang up from me, call 911. A whole half hour later, that boy could have been dead. Oh, no, somebody's head is going to roll. Somebody's head is rolling today. Somebody's head is rolling today. Oh, I'm done. I'm done. Where's my crew at? Where is my crew at? Where's Brother Al? Let me find Brother Al. Where's Brother Al?
Be right back.
Brother Al. Are you with me? Okay, I'm gonna have to come back to Brother Al.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was trying to get my phone off mute. morning. You know how we do it. I got to do my little daily quote right quick. It's a short one this morning. You become what you believe. That's by my girl, Oprah Winfrey. You become what you believe. So believe in the good stuff, you'll have the good stuff.
All right, and now, word of encouragement this morning. You become what you believe.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Al, we got some stuff going on. We're talking about this teen murder-suicide, where there's a 17-year-old now on life support. Her family is preparing to donate her organs. The day after she breaks up with this young man, he shoots her and commits suicide. And my thought is, y'all should have been paying attention to him as well as her. Now, if this only was the day after Brother Al, you know he has some anger issues because you couldn't even, you didn't even last a week being separated or broke up from the girl. Would you agree that there's some sign of anger problems or control problems that he's shown in the past?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That ain't just come up, you know. And like you said, with me working at the school, not even working with higher grades now, I see it. You know, there's a young lady here just broke up. She in the 12th grade. She's been with a guy from the 6th grade to now, and they broke up. And this girl is having a hard time. And the parents don't pay attention. They look at, oh, you got a little boyfriend. You got a little girlfriend. But see how he or she is reacting to that. See what happens when they get in their little arguments. How do we react or how does she react? This ain't nothing new. He just did some other stuff. It's just now when she finally said, okay, that's it, he couldn't take it and say, you know what, well, I'm going to handle this way. You know what I'm saying? So that's just something that been, you know, he's been in this thing.
Absolutely, Brother Al, absolutely. You said that she was supposedly dating him from the 6th grade.
Yeah, the young ladies on my here at my school, she's in 12th grade. She's graduating this year. Her and this young man been dating since 6th grade. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at it like when she told me, I'll see. Exactly. But here's the crazy thing, right? And I had to bring, because I tell these kids, I'm going to tell you the truth. So what happened, she was in 6th grade, he was in 7th grade. They was here at the same school, and he graduated. Now he's in college. So I said, I'm going to be real with you what it is. He's in college. He sees these nice young women. And she's in a predicament where he found someone he liked. And so she's in a predicament where he's trying to choose between the two. So she's sitting back telling me, well, I'm just looking because I'm trying to see if, you know, is he going to choose me or he going to choose the other girl. And I'm looking at her like, young lady, are you nuts? And this, and when I tell you, I already even spoke to the guidance counselor. I spoke to everybody I need to speak to and say, y'all need to talk to this young lady. You need to watch her. She's crying. She's telling Mr. Al, I can't handle this. That girl got me scared. So I didn't call everybody I needed to call on my end. you know, and so this young man, I had a young man here. He liked this girl. The girl didn't like him. He's throwing chairs and said, "Bro, what's going on with you? Oh, she let me on." I tell people, when your child is dating, especially if you know it, you have to watch it, because they don't know nothing about dating. And they get these feelings deep in, and they get crazy. You have to watch them. So, no, that ain't the first time he did that. He just did some other things. I promise you that.
Wow, Brother Al, wow. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, helping us to understand that this stuff is real. All right, Brother Al. Mom needs to go to Petco and get some gas. And the baby is left watching TV. What's going on, Brother Al?
Well, it goes back to what I say 1,000 times. People love their pet more than they love humans. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand her. I can see her now putting the toddler there. Okay, I'm going to turn on these cartoons, and you watch TV. I'll be right back. And that little baby said, yep. And when he heard that door close, he was like, time for some action. You know, kids don't stay still, especially toddlers. I'm here by myself, and you gone. So you know what? I am going to go mess with everything I possibly can mess with. You know, she should be put in jail for that. That's child neglect. Go to jail.
Yep.
I ain't even going to stop. You go to jail. Don't pass go. Go to jail.
No, I agree with you. I don't believe she should get any leniency. No, I'm sorry. That same neighbor who found the child, maybe you could have asked that neighbor to watch the child. And again, you know, Brother Al, when you need to go to Petco so badly, you need to get gas so badly that you leave the child home alone. A toddler looking at TV, home alone. My thing is, I believe there was a breakdown. So she just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Walked off. Because why you didn't take the child with you?
Right.
Yeah, why you just didn't take the child with you?
So, right. What was so hard in just throwing the child in the back of the car, putting it in the car seat, because you had a husband who was coming home.
Right.
So you're not there alone.
Right.
No, that
right.
was a
and
breakdown.
You know what happened?
That's how she handled it.
And what happened is people don't realize, because I done took so many trainings back in San Francisco. I got like a thing full of certificates from these training, because it's interesting to me. And people think that, okay, when people have a breakdown, it doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It's just they need a mental breakdown. They cheat kids. One of the biggest things that they got that children die from is baby shaking syndrome. And 95% of the time, it was an accident, because that child was crying. The mother couldn't stop that child from crying, and you picked them up, and you did everything. Then you shake the child like, well, what's wrong with you? Not knowing that baby brain is not fully developed, and it's shaking all around. So it comes from that, and what they teach in the training is to tell the parent, hey, put that baby down, call somebody real quick. Put that baby down and go for a walk. Get yourself together, then come back. So I'm agreeing with what you said. She had a breakdown. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to let him go watch TV. Let me just go to Petco right quick and come back. I'll be all right. Not thinking that I'm leaving a toddler by himself and there's all type of stuff in here for him to get into.
Right. Including walking out the house, Brother Al, because that's where they found him. He wasn't even in the house anymore. You left the door unlocked. You went out to get gas. You ain't had to go nowhere if you didn't pull a car off. The car didn't need no gas. So that's how you could tell.
That's right.
That this was just a breakdown for the reasons why she left the house. She went to, listen, you went to Petco that was closed. That means you went after hours. You knew good and well Petco wasn't open.
Right. She had a breakdown. So, I'm telling you, I promise you, she had a breakdown.
Yeah, that was not, you know, no 1, 2, 3, I need to really go to no store. Nah. All right. Last but definitely not least, we've got this child. Now, here you are in the school. He's telling the teachers, administration, somebody in the school, my left side is getting weak. I think I'm having a stroke. you don't call 911. You call a parent to come get the child because he says he's having a stroke, but you don't believe him. Is that the conversation that you're having for real? Really? Brother Al?
That's the same. Oh, okay. That's the same. If they broke the whole... See, what I've been fighting for and been telling people that every teacher in the school, everybody who works with children to take these trainers to no signs of stroke. Like, I got my first aid, my CPR. I got so much certificate, like I said, is because I said, I don't want to be in a predicament where I'm not able to help or I do something wrong that causes a child's life. Now, what happened, if this child, I know the signs of stroke, so when he would have came to me, once he would have said his left side, I immediately take him to the nurse. We go to the nurse and we call in 911. The nurse is going, look, nurse, this is what. And we're calling 911. Then we're calling the parent. Listen, your child is being taken to such and such hospital. He's complaining about this, and it's a possible stroke. So I don't know what the heck they did. Or could it be that the nurse or there? Because, see, that's another bad thing, too, Pastor, with the school. You got, right now with my school right here, it's two schools in here. My school is from 6th to 12th grade. We got almost 700 kids. Then you got another school that's downstairs that's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and they got about 500 kids. In this whole school type of stuff, we got two nurses, one regular nurse and an assistant nurse. That's all we got for this whole school, for the whole school. So you're talking about almost 1,100 kids, and you got two nurses. So everybody should be trained to see signs and notice them, but that's the first protocol. Once you tell me something, we're going straight to the nurse.
But wouldn't that
and
be
then the nurse
a
make the
normal
call.
Instinct? Wouldn't that be
yes.
a normal instinct for any adult? Forget about it. Listen, Brother Al, you're absolutely right, especially when you're dealing with children. But even as an adult, wouldn't that be your first course of action? Listen, this kid is saying that his left side is feeling weak. He thinks he's having a stroke. You know what? Whether I know the signs of stroke or not, I ain't taking no chances. Let me call 911. If a child is in my home, I have three girls who always had somebody over. If I've got somebody's kid in my home, Brother Al, and Shantice, Shawnice, or Tamaja come and say, Ma, so-and-so say, you know, they weak. This side is getting weak, and they don't feel well. I'm like, all right, get them downstairs, or if not, leave them where they are. I'm calling 911. Then we calling their mama. Should be a normal instinct, especially if you're in a school. But that should even be your normal instinct, Al. That's why I'm just annoyed here, and heads would be rolling.
Right.
Somebody would be getting fired. No.
And it's just like you said.
Even if there are two nurses, huh?
Right. I said, even like you said, and because he's on the other side of the fence, and you know what happened is these teachers get caught up because there's so many kids, right? So now when this kid comes say that, they don't know the signs of stroke. So, maybe he just fell or this. No. When kids come to me, Pastor, Mr. Al, I have felt and I skipped my knee. Okay, let's go to the nurse. I'm taking you straight to the nurse. It's nothing even. All right, it's nothing even talk about. We going to the nurse, and that should be the normal reaction. You come tell me if I heard this. Okay, you know what? I'm calling 911. I got it on speed dial, so that's where we go with that.
Right. It shouldn't even be whether you can. If you're a teacher in the classroom, listen. I'm calling 911. This child said their face is weak. I'm calling the nurse second. Or I'm calling parent last. Like you said, I'm calling parent to let them know, hey, this is where your child is headed. This is just way too much negligence for my comfortability, Brother Al. But thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll be back to continue our conversation. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. All right. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, my love. I'm doing well. How are you today?
I am doing just fine. The weather is amazing. Glad to be in it.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're talking about, you know, this teen murder suicide, 17 years old. And my, you know, we always talk about, you know, watching your daughters or, you know, sometimes your sons who are being abused. But my thing is, here we go again with this bullying. And here we go again with these anger issues. And I'm asking, you know, do you think that, you know, here we are the next day. Now, here it is Monday. We break up Tuesday, you shooting me. There's some anger issues. There's some control issues going on. And mama and father, grandma, auntie, somebody had to have seen something that indicated that you were capable of behaving like this. What's your thought on it?
The sad part about that is that resides, you know, and a lot of times, family members just, oh, well, it's just this, you know, oh, it's a phase, you know, that's the one thing that I hear a lot. Oh, it's a phase, it'll pass. You know, unfortunately, you know, that thing stays until the child becomes adult. If you don't curb it, you know, if that first sign when, you know, they're doing all kinds of crazy things, you know, like, for instance, you know, at real small childhood, you know, beating their head up against the wall or the floor, or, you know, holding breath, you know, you think that's trivial, and, oh, it's a phase. It's something that you have to pay attention to, because at that age, it might be something that they, you know, feel like that's their resolve. You know, as they get older, they start doing other things. You have to really, really watch those things. You know, are they silent? Are they, you know, closing themselves off? All of those things, you know, present themselves in different ways as children become a little older. And you have to be really, really careful and very, very prayerful. Anoint your child, you know, on a daily basis to ensure that, you know, we're not seeing something as they get older, you know, something like what just happened.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like you said, you know, a lot of times, you know, people, you know, are watching and they're just brushing it off. But this just goes to show we cannot brush things off. We can't. We really can't. All right, Tamika, we got mom it late at night, you know, and she needs to go to the store. She got to run some errands. And she going to Petco, and she going to buy gas. And I'm going to sit this toddler in front of the TV to watch TV until I get back. We've talked about this before. You know, you leaving the kids in the house so you could go do what you do. But this one is this one here hits one of the top stories in this area. What's your thought?
Maybe she was distraught over the gas prices. You know, and she decided that it was so important that she, you know, no. But in all seriousness, that's really, you know, disheartening that, you know, you went to a Petco store that was closed, you know, and then tried to get gas. And, you know, we've had situations before where, you know, a woman said, oh, I went to the corner store, and I think it was the twin boys that died in a fire.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Just
yep.
Television is not a babysitter. A television can't tell your child to sit down, behave, you know, lay down. You know, there's not a bassinets. What happened to bassinets? And, you know, what's the other thing? It's not an exorcist. I can't remember. It's a little bouncy thing that you put the child in, you know. But, right, you know, those were preventative measures when you were, let's say, something like washing dishes in another room. She wasn't in another room. She left the building and left the child. And not only that. You left the child in a building with doors unlocked. You know, suppose somebody came in while you were out. There's so many different things that could have happened. And unfortunately, you know, I feel like she could have snapped. She could have called somebody. Can you just come over? You know, I remember when we were little, if my mom had to do something, she'd call a neighbor over. You know, can you watch my child? I'm just going to the corner store. You know, I'll be right back. You know, so that somebody was accountable for when I leave my child. She did nothing. She went to Petco when it was closed, and there's no telling how long she might have sat there. You know, you're just trying to clear your head. You know, okay, I'm just going to go to Petco. Okay, they're closed. Now I got to sit here for a moment. Go to the gas station. You know, how long does it take you to get gas on average? You know, at this point now, they're lined. So she might have had to wait there longer. My heart just goes out to this situation, you know, that she felt like she had no help, no hope. You know, husband is coming home. You couldn't have waited just a couple of more minutes until he got there? I just shake my head.
Yeah, this is definitely a breakdown on many different levels, and she's going to have to pay for that one. She's going to have to pay. They said they've opened up a case, needless to say, you know, to see what's going on in the home. So this is going to be the beginning of a mess, because once they start getting into your business, your life, you in trouble. You're in trouble. All right, Deontay.
Right, and even...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, even if you're not a bad mom, whatever it is that they could pull out, trust and believe, they're going to pull it out at that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I say you don't want them in your business. You don't want them in your life, you know, especially, you know, for something quick, you know, something that could have been prevented. Definitely don't want them in your life. We got this DeAndre Hicks, who's 17, who tells the teacher or administration, hey, you know, my left side is weak. I think I'm having a stroke. You don't call the 911. You call mom. Mom is sick. Mom is home. I'm sure he must have told them my mother is ill. When they said, we're going to call your mom, I'm sure he said, my mother's ill. And instead of you taking care of what needs to be taken care of first, you call 911 a half hour after you spoke to mom. What should be happening to these people?
Oh, they should get it. Oh, they should get it. You know, that especially considering the fact that it's in his profile. Mom already said, you know, we have, you know, cases of stroke in our family. You know, and not only that, you know, if they didn't know, they should have been listening to Pastor Steph. They should have been listening to the commercials. You know, I didn't know the signs of stroke, but face, arm, speech, and
right.
time is that simple. F-A-S-T.
Right.
I got it literally
yep.
just listening to the commercials.
Yep.
You know, if one side
yep.
of your face is drooping, if one of your arms is not, you know, you
That's
tell them to
right.
hold their arms up, one side is leaning, you know, your speech is slurred. You know, and then, you know, you don't have a whole lot of time with a stroke victim. You know, I remember, you know, my grandmother, you know, she had a stroke. She didn't have it in my presence, but I remember her not, you know, for a moment, she couldn't remember where she lived, you know, and those are things
okay.
that happen, you know, a momentary, you know, loss in, you can't remember, you can't focus, you know, and automatically right after that, her lips started drooping, you know, and... My thing is, even if you don't believe him, what's the problem with sending him to the nurse, you know, where he could get the assistance? These nowadays, you know, I went away this weekend and there was a child in our vicinity who was having an asthma issue. He automatically went to the person and said, listen, I need a little pump, you know, and we watched, you know, these children are wise. They know when they're not feeling well. They know when something is off. And if they're coming to you and they're saying, mommy, teacher, daddy, whomever, you know, village, you know, I don't feel well. The first thing is to address that situation, because we've got children now with allergies, you know, that need an
right.
EpiPen immediately. You don't have time to wait. Asthma attacks, again, breathing, you know, that
right.
breathing issue. You know how long a child, it doesn't take a long time for a child to literally start having issues. You don't have time now to get a nebulizer when you could have taken care of it right then and there. And so for you to just say, oh, well, we're going to call your mother who's disabled, what is she going to do? How long do you think it's going to take for her to get there? Why not take the measures that are necessary? You know, and a lot of times they're playing. Well, even if they are, wouldn't it make more sense to take care of the need just in case
that they, you know, to avoid an issue that's even heavier, right, than just say, okay, this child's got an asthma,
right,
attack. This child is having an issue, an allergy. You know, we don't have time to wait. Take care of what needs to be taken care of. And then afterwards, if you realize that they're playing, then okay, then an error. But you got to take measures in your own hands to make sure that that child is safe.
Yep, absolutely. Major negligence. Thank you so much for joining us, Tamiko, and we'll be back to continue our conversation. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Sharlin. Good morning, Pastor Sharlin.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today, my love?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. How are you doing over there?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good, good. All right, well, if you weren't well, this story will make you well. You know, we're talking about, I'm serious, these stories, man, you know, you've got this, you know, this teen who, after a day of being away from this young lady, the next day, not even saying a day, the next day, he goes and he shoots her, and he then kills himself. And, you know, I'm standing the ground that, you know, there was something in his profile that he had anger issues. He had control issues because domestic abuse and domestic violence is really about control and not being able to control yourself and wanting to control the situation and wanting to control the other person. And here you are, he's and now he's dead. Now he's dead. Now, do you have a group of parents or family members who are now thinking, you know, oh, we should have seen the signs, and oh, you know, when he did this, we should have paid attention. What comes to your head?
Absolutely. Definitely people see the signs. But they don't. What the sad part is, it doesn't come together until we get to here. Oh, you remember that time when this happened? Oh, remember when he said and she said, "I want to stay," and he said, "No, we leaving right now." So I took it as my first thought was, "I can't have you. Nobody can."
Yeah.
And now I'm not even going to do the sentence. I'm gonna kill myself as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the sad thing is I had a friend that's how she passed. She had broke up with him, and she lived in the next building from me. And she knew he was after her. And she was licensed because she was in the service, and she was licensed to carry this gun. And this particular day, every day, she had a gun because he told her. He was able to see in her apartment, stand on the bridge, and he saw, when I was over there, he told her when we was together, what we had on, and we like, where is he that he can see you? And sure enough, this particular morning, she walked out the house, she said, oh man, I left my gun, but I can go across the street to get a newspaper and get that, not knowing that he had this wig on, sitting outside, hat, glasses, and it was on a Sunday morning, bright and early. I never forget. And she had to pass my building to get to hers. Well, he caught her behind my building. He shot her, mm-hmm. unloaded the gun, loaded up again, stood over her, and walked away. And when he walked away,
wow.
he went to his house and killed himself. And I was the
wow.
first, I was the second person because they banged on my door for me to come because now I got to go tell her mother. So this abuse is real. And we used to think, you know, at first it's cute because, you know, you thinking, oh, he just want to be with me. No. Mm-mm. So it's very real out here of the abuse. And,
wow.
and people
oh,
just,
wow.
they, you can't have me. and nobody's going to have you at all, and it doesn't matter. So he left back his son and left back her son.
Wow, wow, wow. Woo, what a storm. Oh, what mm-hmm. about this mom who needs to go to Petco and buy some gas and leave the baby in the home looking at TV? And I guess the TV wasn't, you know, keeping his attention. He ends up outside on the sidewalk.
Well, I thought of, because you stated when the baby came out and the neighbor found that the pamper was full. So that means you was gone for a very long time. And the baby gonna watch until they get tired of watching. And so I felt that this was not her first time going out. I don't care where we go. Does not mean you want to go and come right back. So even if you had a breakdown, a moment, why you didn't think of the safety? And that's my thought. She did not think of the safety because she did the blame game on the husband. Well, he's supposed to have been coming. We all know what might can happen in between that. You know, a car breakdown, or he might
right.
went to the store, whatever. You know, and you left the baby with some dogs. Let's not even go outside yet. With some dogs. Now, I wonder if that was the day that the dog started to might want to play and bit the baby. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like
I thought
he
about
said, how the baby open mm-hmm. the door?
Yep. The little hand. The little hand who watches or watches how to get out there,
mm-hmm.
who watches what you do to open up the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I was getting ready to say. Mm-hmm. Or did you close the door all the way? Oh.
Yep, a thought. That's a thought. Definitely a thought. All right, Pastor Charlene, your child is at school, you get a phone call that says, you know, can you come pick up your child? You know, he says he's having weakness on his left side, but, you know, we don't believe him that it's a stroke, but he doesn't feel well. Can you come pick him up? What do you say?
Well, okay, church people are listening. So I would say to them that everybody's going to get fired. There's no story that you could tell me. I thank God that the little boy is okay, but you should have had 911 on one phone, and somebody else could have called the mother, and somebody else could have went to get the nurse. Because if he's telling you, stop what you're doing and believe him. And if you don't think that he's telling the truth, it's not your call. Because you need to make sure that my child is okay.
Absolutely.
And then in the medical paper, well, I don't know if they still do it because I ain't got no little people in school, but don't in the papers they say, like, your history? You know, when they
yeah,
go to school.
Right. But
yes, that's on the blue card.
Like
that's on the blue card. Sorry.
Right. But he may not have had a quote-unquote history, you know, having experienced that. But the mother and him knew that there was a history in the family. So it may not have been like, okay, these allergies are listed on your blue card. You know, don't give them eggs or peanuts, you know, stuff like that. But
mm-hmm.
they knew, he knew enough to know to tell them, my face is getting weak. My left side is getting weak. He's 17 years old, Pastor Charlene. He knows what he's feeling.
Exactly. And also you stated that the mother is telling them that this runs in my family. So there
right.
should have been no question about it. That meant automatically that you call 911. Not a half hour later. That's
yep.
like saying, about a half hour later, what would I do? Okay, well, the schooling.
you know, the people. The people.
All right now. Thank you so much, Pastor Shaw, for joining us this morning. We'll come back to have our main conversation. We got some minutes to do that. But first, we got comments from our listeners. So let's see what the listeners have got to say. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
What you got going on? What are the listeners saying this morning?
Oh, a whole lot going on. Okay, so one listener sent in. Nowadays, the kids make a lot of excuses to leave school. However, that was too drastic to ignore. It got me thinking, did he have to have to go through some type of seizure in order to get the medical attention that was required?
Wow. And clearly so, listener. You know, because they must have been waiting for some real sign, quote unquote, you know what I'm saying, Shanti, before they really started paying attention, just so the weakness. Because if he's feeling, okay, so we hear, I play the PSA several times a year, because several times a year we have the stroke awareness or, you know, things like that. And you see it on TV, you hear it on radio. You know, they tell you, you know, act fast, you know, go with the acronym FAST, go with the acronym FACE. So even if you know, you may not visibly see what's going on, but thank God he was able to feel it for himself. You know,
right.
So they tell you, you know, what the F starts for FACE, you know, look at the face. Is the face drooping? Well, he was complaining probably before you actually got to visibly see the face that started to droop, you know? So like the listener said, are we going to take a chance? Just call 911. Do what you got to do. It's not a chance to take. It's not a chance you want to take. I agree with you, listener.
Yes. And then we have, there's no PetSmart, Petco, or Petland discount store that's open at 9:30 p.m. She got that late
Absolutely.
Phone call and went to go see and lied, saying she was going to the pet store, thinking it would have been a quickie.
You know what? God, that sounds like Pastor Charlotte and her conspiracy theory. Wow, the listeners are going there. You know what,
yes.
These days and times, you just can't say it's impossible,
mm-hmm.
can you?
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments?
Yes, we have one more listener sent in. She was going to get, quote-unquote, gas. I'm aware that tomorrow isn't promised, but that could have waited until tomorrow.
I love it. I love our listeners. They are something else. Absolutely. Because that's what I'm saying. Why would you have to leave the house to go get gas if you ain't moving the car?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. Oh, good point, listener. Good point. Thank you so much, Shanti, for relaying that those comments. And we'll be back to talk to you in a minute. We're listening out for what you got to say today. Oh,
okay.
All righty. We got, you know, some things that, you know, married people say that, you know, they miss, you know, not being, you know, single anymore. You know, there's some little things that go on. And, sleeping alone came up on the list. Brother Al, can you imagine that some people actually say, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be, I miss sleeping alone all the time. Just those once in a while things, you know, that's what they're feeling. What are you thinking?
I think in the beginning, yes, until you get used to the person. Because when you used to being single like me, I sleep in the middle of the bed. I want the whole bed. But then when you have that other half, you got to start sharing that bed. You might turn over like, hey, move over a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Or that person take up all the cover. You know what I'm saying? So it's something that you have to get used to. It's something that you have to get used to. But I can see that, though. You miss it sleeping alone.
All righty. What about you, Tamika? You know, they say some people say, you know, I'm married, but I miss sleeping alone. There was some perks to sleeping alone.
Yeah, you know, I remember my mom. My dad had adenoid problems, and he was a snorer.
Ooh.
So it was like, you know, she made it her purpose on every occasion to try and get into bed before him, because she automatically knew, oh, I'm gonna have to keep waking you up until I get to sleep, you know. And there's all types of things, you know. You want a position, you want to be in a capital Y, but you can't really, or capital X, but you can't really do that because now you got to ease your X to a Y, or you know, a small I, because you know this person is on the other side. So you know, whereas you know you want to be able to put your head or your body in a particular position, now you got to share. So it's a you might just get an extra king size bed.
Absolutely, absolutely, Tamika. Pastor Charlotte, you know, some people say that, you know, every once in a while, it wouldn't be bad to have this bed to myself.
Yes, yes, yes. Because we fight the cover. I don't care what size larger cover I get. I try to get to, look, you have your own cover. Let me have my own. I want to roll over. I can't. You right behind me. Yes, I understand. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't blame me because I'm a tucker.
Oh my goodness. You know,
not
freezing.
How about that?
Yeah. All that cold air I'm feeling. You know, talking about sleeping, they also mentioned sleeping in. You know, some people, you know, they miss the ability to just sleep in at times. Come on, Tamika.
Now, why you got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning? You got pots and pans rattling. You got the music going. Can I just sleep a little later?
Yeah.
You know, your schedule is not – why does your schedule have to be my schedule? You know, and, you know, because you're up and moving. Hey, wait, I'm off today. Do I have – can I just sleep in, please?
Oh, man. Pastor Charlene, they say sleeping in they miss. Being able to just sleep in.
He gets up early, and I want to sleep in, and he turn on every light, the TV. Oh, yes, and the music. All at the same time. I say, am I disturbing you? After I finish howling. Yes. Sleep in. Take a night
Oh, Brother Al, sleeping in for some people. It's like, wow, I sure wish I could sleep in. Are you talking to the mute button again, Brother Al? All right, we're going
to
come back to
come,
Brother
come
Al.
Come back to me. Yeah, come back to me.
Yes,
yeah, come
back
to
Brother Al. All right, now. The next thing they talk about is being able to focus on work without feeling guilty. Ooh, Pastor Charlene, what about that one?
Well, I would say take some time, you know, but don't spend the whole time. If you plan, you know, well, this day I need to, you know, gear on the work that I need to do. And then tomorrow we'll go in, you know, go out and do something. So you have to compromise with that. Because that's one of my things, too.
Okay. Tamika, you know, the married people, you know, you feel like, you know, you need to work, but,
you know, you're feeling a little guilty because there's someone else in that house that needs your attention. And you didn't have to, you know, be concerned about that before.
Right. And it comes on anything, you know, you're focusing on something else, you know, maybe even sometimes scriptural time, you know, it's like you're trying to focus on that, but then you see that look on the face that says, oh, I'm spending too much time, you know, not necessarily in the word. It could be anything, you know, watching or trying to focus on something that, you know, takes an extra moment. You know, you got to listen, I need a moment. And so on those instances, it's important that you communicate. Listen, I know we said we're going to do such and such. You know, we said we're going to do a picnic or whatever the case may be. But right now I need to focus on this, and, you know, and be able to talk to each other transparently so that that's not a struggle.
Okay, okay. Pastor Sharlin, they bring up traveling spontaneously.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Let's just get in the car and pack a bag. And where we going? I don't know, but we got a tank full of gas. We got some food in here. And let's just go, you know, pick a weekend and just go. And where that you know, wherever the way. That's not what you meant?
No. Remember, these are the things that the people are saying they miss now that they're married. They can't travel spontaneously anymore.
Oh, okay.
Because you're traveling alone. You can get up and go when you want to go. But now that you're married, you can't just do that any longer.
Right. I forgot. Okay. Well, yes. I do. I See, my husband is easy. I'll be like, come on, let's go. He'd be like, all right, let's go. You know, you have to make plans and be able to plan it out because, you know, you don't know what they want to do, and they might not want to. So, yes.
Okay, okay. Tamika, you know, giving up that spontaneous traveling is a little difficult at times. You know, when you want to just jump up and go, you got to remember, okay, I forgot.
Oh, I'm not ready for this part. No. no, but you mean to tell me.
You better
me,
answer
no.
right. You better answer right.
Well, you know, there are things that play in role. You know, finances are important. You know, you want to get up in such and such and such, you know. But now you have to, you know, ensure that you have enough resources. You have to make sure that your spouse, you know, is okay with it. You know, there may be something that needs to be taken care of that you both need to be present for. So, you know, whereas when you're single-minded, you can just get up and go, oh, I see you when I get back. See you when I see you. You know, but in a married life, it's a totally different type of thing.
All right, now. Come on, Brother Al. They say, you know, some people say that they miss the single life and being able to just jump up and go.
Well, first, I'd like to say to me, good answer, baby, good answer.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness.
Well, you know, the thing with me was I was never a big traveler, so I don't miss it. But I can see where it probably, you know, if you got a person that travels all the time and now you're married and you can't do that, I can see that actually being a problem. But I was never a big traveler like that, so I'm okay.
Okay, okay. Oh, this one is a good one for me. Watching TV with no interruptions or no judgment. Come on, Brother Al, give it to us. I'm going to start with you. Make sure we catch you while you could talk.
Yeah, yeah, you catch me on that. I would say yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I'm going to tell you why, because I'm going to tell you a funny story, because me and Tamika could be sitting there watching TV, and it's something of one of her favorite movies or something that she knows. She's quoting every word. She's singing the song. And I'm looking at her like, really? Like, are you serious right now? Are you serious right now? Oh, don't put the color purple on Ghost. Look, Pastor Jones, don't put on the color purple or goat. She know word for word. Those are her two favorite movies. And I stroll through the TV and see that. I tell the stroll person, no, 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 put that on. And she's just sitting there saying word for word. I don't even look at the TV. I just look at her because she knows the scene.
So wait, you said the color purple and what else?
And the movie Ghost.
Oh, Ghost.
Remember the movie
Ghost
with Patrick Swayze? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God! Don't put those movies on. You're gonna be in trouble.
All righty, come on, Tamika. Now that he said that, you know, listen, they said, listen, I like to be able to watch TV with no interruption or no judgment.
All right, so here we go. Watching something that I may be enjoying, you know, I just got here, I'm sitting here watching, oh, my such-and-such is on. And right in the middle of whatever it is that I'm trying to listen to, and it's not that I have one of those, you know, shows that I can rewind, I'm watching it right then and there, it's live. You know, there comes the conversation about something that I'm like, can that wait? Wait a minute, I'm just trying, if you could just give me 5 minutes. 5 minutes, you know, to the commercial. We'll have more than enough time to talk. We got all day, you know, and those are things that happen in, you know, in marriages. It's like the timing is off. You know, she wants to talk to you during the game. You know, it just crossed her mind, and at that moment, you're just about watching. She stands right in front of the TV, and she says, honey, that causes all kinds of havoc right then and there.
All right. Pastor Charlene, they miss
yes.
you to watch TV. No interruptions and no judgment.
Yes. I love watching Hallmark. And soon as I'm in it, he want to talk. Oh, my goodness. He want to talk. He, all of a sudden, he needs something. So I get him back. Oh, when that game come on, I want to have conversation. I want to have conversation. I need your, oh, well, I don't care. You interrupt my movie. And you know the best part is at the end when you want to see the end and to see how it turned out, that's when all the conversation
yeah.
got to come. Oh, my Lord. I'll be hot.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, one more thing, Pastor Steph.
Huh?
No, also, you know, because they have gotten in and, you know, I happen to be sitting there watching something. The first thing, well, why are you watching that? Wait a minute. You wasn't there a couple of minutes ago. I'm watching what I want to watch. Why are you picking at me for what I'm watching?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't go too far, Tony. Don't go too far.
Here's one that I want to end with. Because this is huge. This is huge. This is huge. Not having to share your food. Not having to share your food. Come on, Brother Al. I can see you're throwing in your comments. That means you could talk. Not having to share your food.
Yeah. You know, I kind of missed that a little, you know. I'll be straight to me and greedy, so. You know, I could be like, I'm telling. I can say it's 8:38. I can say, I'm going to get these french fries. Tamika said right there. Okay, well, you get that. I don't want no french fries. Soon as my fries come out, where her fingers go? To my fries. And I'm like, I could have sworn you said 15 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Yes, that happened.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. I know this is a big one. This is a big one. Come on, Tamika, what you got for us?
Oh, so, you know, I decide I'm going to cook such and such and such. You know, oh, I don't want that. I don't like that. I don't want anything of that. So I'm waiting for him to get in there and cook whatever it is that he wants. You know, my meal is done because you said you didn't want anything. You didn't. you know, not only am I giving you a portion, like, you know, a tasteful, you taste it, which is what you said you didn't want, because you looked at, oh, that looked nasty, I don't want that. Now I actually have to give you a whole portion of what I was eating. So now what I thought was just for me is now an us meal.
Ah, I like that, an us meal. Okay, I got to start using that. This is an us meal. Oh, my goodness gracious. Pastor Charlotte.
Y'all
not having to share their food. Ooh, you know that I got problems of sharing my food. Well, we can go out to eat, and he say, what you going to get? I said, no, you order first, because you going to get what you get. Because I don't want you to piggyback off of me. But you, and then we get our food. Oh, your food looks better than my food. And now you want to dip your hand in my food when you had the opportunity to get exactly what I'm going to get. So, I miss just having my own thing. Oh, I heard that pain, Pastor Charlotte. I heard the pain. Oh, my due time crew, you all have given examples of things that we can all identify with. And this was quite a bit of fun. And thanking you so much for your contribution into this conversation. We pray you have a blessed day.
You all do.
You
and
do too.
You as well. And everyone, enjoy.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Always at the top of the hour, and you know what time it is. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Where are we going to get that switch tip? Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
What you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the street to our godly seat. And our switch tip 105 is appreciate your spiritual wisdom, not just wisdom, because I'm learning more and more as I'm having more conversations that there is a distinct difference between worldly wisdom, the street wisdom, and godly spiritual wisdom. I actually came across 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but there were certain verses that really stood out, and this is in the New Living Translation. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, and this is Paul speaking his message on wisdom. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. Verse 7a, no, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. Verse 8, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. Verses 10 through 16, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who are not spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? but we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. And I was going back and forth with myself as to what's the title of this switch tip, because as I was reading these verses, I was noticing I was getting annoyed. As I was reading the verses, it was reminding me of some conversations, a couple in particular that I had yesterday. And I was like, you know what, I can't name the switch tip this because that sounds like I'm mad. I can't name the switch tip that because that sounds like I'm still annoyed. So we're going to stick with appreciate your spiritual wisdom. And one of the points that really stood out to me was in verses 14 and 15, but people who are not spiritual can't receive these truths from God's spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. And we really have to make sure that we're focusing on understanding that, you know, once we've been blessed enough to be baptized and we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and thank God that's a gift that God said he will never take back because we will be in trouble, that we are already set aside from a lot of other people that's walking around out here in these streets. And, you know, a lot of people, they'll have you questioning yourself. They'll have you questioning your mental health. They'll have you questioning your common sense, if you have it. They have you questioning if you make sense, because just like it said here, not only are we able to evaluate all things, but they can't evaluate us. So it's like we're speaking to people and they're not understanding us, but they, you know, like Pastor Steph always likes to say, people are so bold and wrong. Like they sound so convincing. And if you don't have your head on right, and if you're not focused, and especially if you haven't prayed before, you've spoken to certain people, had certain conversations, they'll really make you think that you're the one who's crazy. But it ain't you. It's them. Because they're relying on the wisdom that the streets teach us. And if I could just explain to y'all the conversations I had yesterday alone, I was like, Jesus, see, this is why I can't waste my time talking to people who you don't want me to talk to, because I need every bit of energy to have the conversations with the people that you need me to have them with. And we really have to make sure that we're appreciating the mind. Did y'all hear these verses where Paul is telling us or reminding us, if we already knew it before, for those of us who are just learning this for the first time, he's now teaching us that we cannot understand God if we do not have his spirit. So it just reminds me of how special the gift of the Holy Spirit is. And it makes me think about how we trash that gift when God gives it to us and we say, I'm still going to do what I want to do. I'm still going to think the way I want to think. I'm still going to lean on my own understanding. Like, what? You understand what lean on your own understanding means? Lean into your own understanding means when you pay attention to the thoughts that you have. I know I've been telling people the past 2 weeks, I'm getting tired of myself. I'm wearing myself out. And not just with like certain conversations, but just with certain things that I was used to doing. And now God is showing me like, all right, it's time for that to stop. And it doesn't even have to be serious things. Just little, you know, petty things, things that I do in my alone time. And it's like, okay, it's time to stop. And I'm like, okay, God, thank you. Because I'm starting to get on my own nerves. I just imagine if I keep this up and I save my other people, I'm going to be getting on their nerves, and now I'm going to be the people that Paul is talking about here. So if you have the Holy Spirit, or if you're on your way to have the Holy Spirit, we got some baptism candidates in our church. If you're on your way to possess the Holy Spirit, you really have to understand the message that we're sending to God when we don't appreciate it. And appreciating it means studying and praying and spending quality time with God and exorcising the gift of the Holy Spirit, meaning talking like we got some sense, meaning breaking down the things that we think, offering them back up to Jesus and letting him evaluate those thoughts and give us the thoughts that we need to have and to do away with the thoughts that are ungodly. Meaning when God sends us to serve people and speak to them, that we know how to respond to them. We know what to say. We know what to correct. And, oh, my goodness, I've been having to ask Jesus to help me correct without cussing, because the stuff that people have been saying because of this human wisdom, this worldly wisdom, this street wisdom, it's like, wow, this really makes sense to you. And then, you know, you got to think about the verses that, you know, where God says a servant of the Lord must be, you know, can't quarrel, meaning you can't fight. You have to be gentle. You have to teach you humility and with patience. And that takes a lot. But again, all of that comes with spiritual wisdom. So we have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision and making the switch to being content with leaning on our own understanding, having our own wisdom, trying to teach ourselves. Listen, it was said last week, you know, I have someone that, you know, I'm close to, and for the longest, since she was a child, everything was, you know, how do you know that? I taught myself. Okay, you can't teach yourself everything, especially the real important things, especially when you're getting older. You can't teach yourself, because our own minds alone can't fathom nowhere near it. Okay, Paul was talking about the mysteries of God, the secrets of God. Do you know how special and how much God has to think of you in order to expose you to his mysteries, to his secrets? And see, and this just goes, now it's making me think about common sense. This is why everybody ain't got common sense. You can't buy it. It's like grace. You can't buy it. You can't pray for it. You can't work for it. You can't do it. God either gives it to you or he doesn't. Take the blessing. Understand the blessing of common sense, because it ain't so common. And as time goes on and the time gets closer to Jesus coming back, you see the distinct difference between those whose mind is somewhere else and those whose mind is on the Lord. And you can tell when they have been keeping their minds on God, because you see the growth. But then again, you can only see the growth and appreciate the growth if you're in the growth yourself. So let's make sure we're making the switch from possessing this worldly wisdom, this street wisdom, and switching to having the spiritual wisdom that we can only get through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Now, what's the name of your switch tip?
Pastor Steph?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Thank you. I'm asking you to give us the name of your switch tip again.
Pastor Steph?
I'm here. You can't hear me?
I'm in.
Hello?
Yeah, I think Pastor Steph got cut off. She'll be right back on.
No, I'm here.
I was wondering why my music wasn't playing.
No, I'm here. Hello? Hello?
Pastor Steph talking about my wisdom. She got disconnected. So why I can't hear Pastor Steph? See how the enemy's working?
All right, I'm here.
Switch tip is appreciate your spiritual wisdom. And I don't feel very wise right now. I feel like I got kicked off.
Well, I was here. I don't know where the breakdown was, but I just decided to hang up and call back. But thank you so much. Appreciate your spiritual wisdom. Amen. Have a blessed day. All righty. So, that was interesting. What do we get from that? You know, it's funny that we are, having this conversation, you know, when we're talking about your spiritual wisdom. The benediction for today: all the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. That's Romans 11:33-36. And that's our benediction for today. You know, we're talking about, you know, married people, the things that married people miss. And, you know, again, we're not talking about, you know, they regret getting married or, you know, it's natural because you have to remember, you know, you've been single for quite some time and you've gotten, you know, some used to doing these things. You know, we talked today specifically about not having to share your food. We talked about watching TV with no interruption or judgments. And, you know, some people are just simply there. You know, it's just, I love being married, you know, but every once in a while my mind falls on those things. You know, giving thanks for your spiritual wisdom is giving God thanks that, you know, you have, you know, what you need at all times, and you're thinking about this at all times. You're thinking about the fact that when you get married, you know, these are the things that I'm going to have to give up. Am I ready to give these things up? You know, some people don't think through this stuff here. And that's the, and I want to say that that's spiritual wisdom, because the streak that Shantice was talking about, that street wisdom, that worldly wisdom says, you know, let me get married because, you know, I got pregnant and it's better, you know, to have a child with two parents instead of one. And y'all can't get along. Y'all fight like cat and dog. You know, the streets say, you know, let me get married because, you know, my biological clock is ticking and I'm running out of time. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, be an old maid with no husband and no kids. That's not spiritual wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. You know, we're not talking about, you know, that. We're talking about spiritual wisdom. And we're talking about just having, you know, that guidance from God that, you know, you have the knowledge. Now, how do you take and use that knowledge? Are you smart enough to pay attention to God, take his guidance, like Shanti said, that Spirit of the Lord gift that we've been given, you know, that's going to, you know, get you to that wisdom level that says, you know what, I have this marriage proposal or I would like to get married. But let me just think this thing through here. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't do that. It's very impulsive. You know, again, you know, they have these reasons for getting married that it's really not based on sound logic. It's not thought out or thought through. And, you know, I'm only choosing this today because, you know, this is what we were talking about today. You know, that godly wisdom that says, I don't leave my toddler at home, you know, to roam outside. Or that godly wisdom that says, when the child comes to me and says, well, my face is and my body is getting weak on the left side, you call 911 instead of calling the parents. Make sure you really, that's what I tell you. Take the Lord now. You've been listening to Is Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. It will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time, and I want to thank you for joining the conversation and hanging out with us today. Please make sure you accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us.
Until tomorrow, God spares our life. Where is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day? I love you.